Hey everybody, Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. On the show today, we have MasterCard's Walt McNee talking about financial inclusion. Check it out. Yeah, well, let's talk about financial inclusion for a couple of minutes here. I mean, specifically, for those who may not be fully aware of it, what exactly is it? Can you kind of nail it down into a definition for us?
Sure. It's just making sure that everyone on Earth has access to basic financial services. So that's payments, it's savings accounts, it's credit, microcredit, it's insurance. All of those products that we take for granted, we think should be available to everyone on Earth.
And that's like, you know, everybody, Africa, Europe, South America,
That's right, and it may sound incredible, but there's over 2 billion people on Earth today that don't have access to those basic financial products. So it's a real problem.
Gotcha. I mean, so why is it so important? I mean, I've read some background material about the top five global risk, and then on the flip side, what it can create is a rising social economic mobility and expanding prosperous middle class. I mean, can you go into a little bit of detail on this?
Yeah, sure. It's all those things. Mm-hmm. I mean, we think if people can get connected to local economies, they can grow businesses. They can expand. So there's all of that, you know, feeding into local and national GDPs. But on a personal level, there's all kinds of great benefits. One is safety and security. Mm-hmm. We think that cash is an enemy of the poor. Because it's easily ripped off. People's personal security is threatened when they're carrying cash around. Mm-hmm. There are all of those reasons. I'll tell you, a lot of it comes down to if you're in a rural and impoverished part of the world and you have to pay a utility bill, and that means that you get on a bus and ride for an hour and a half and then stand in a line for half an hour just to pay your bill. We think that's ridiculous. Yeah. And it runs against human dignity.
I've heard that. I've heard stories about that in kind of like third world countries where people will walk like 2 or 3 hours to the financial institution, wait in line for another 3 or 4 hours just to pay their bill, and then walk all the way back home. The stories are incredible. And so it sounds like the financial inclusions can remedy all of this.
Well, that's right. And especially today, those of us who live in the developed North America, where we can do things instantaneously now. We're all getting so used to the digital capabilities that the gap is getting further and further apart, or it's getting wider and wider between those who don't have basic access and those of us who enjoy extraordinary digital access.
And so what is MasterCard? What is your part in this effort? I mean, you guys have a Center for Inclusive Growth. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, that center we set up, that's philanthropic. So that's a not-for-profit center we put together where we're funding research around this issue. And we're also dedicating ourselves to helping 1 million micro-entrepreneurs, small entrepreneurs, enter their formal economy. Mm-hmm. We think that we should do everything we can. We just picked 1 million. We think it's doable by 2020. So those are small entrepreneurs who are unconnected, okay, who want to connect, who want to grow their business. Mm-hmm. And so that's sort of our objective in the center. And then we fund research, and then we do direct philanthropy as well. Okay. And we think it's important to get a conversation going around this topic. And so we publish original research on the site, but we're also trying to get the practitioners talking to the academics. We think that sometimes the academic community talk to themselves. Right. Practitioners, people on the ground doing things, right, are talking to themselves. And we think that would be a really useful conversation. So that's part of the center's mandate, is to get that going.
Right. That'd be a fantastic connection here. And speaking of that, what are some of MasterCard's goals here, and including connecting these two parties together? Are there any progress in achieving these goals?
Yeah, I'll tell you, what we think is important today is that companies choose issues that they can offer solutions to. So we think CSR and philanthropy, we think that's important, but we think it's not going to actually fix the big problems in the world. So okay. So for us, we're a payments company. We're a technology company that is in payments. We think there's an option. So the work we do around the world to drive payments, which drives our business. I mean, we're not shy about that.
Yeah.
We think can make a real difference. So that's what we're up to. By driving financial inclusion, we can expand our business, but also have an impact. We think that if companies set as an objective to be a force for good, that great things will happen. We have to take care of our shareholders and all the rest, but we think you can have an expanded purpose as a company, and that's what we're trying to do.
Oh, of course, and in today's age, especially with the millennial market, I mean, everyone wants to be part of a company or an organization that has a greater meaning, has a bigger goal, you know. And it sounds like this is what you guys are doing as well.
It's true, and I think over time, I mean, this isn't something we talk about. Obviously, you don't advertise and talk about it, but people get to know about you, and so I think you can attract better employees. I think customers start to hear about it, and so it's, you know, if you do some good, I think it's good for your business. You can do good and do well.
Oh, giving back is a great message. It's always a great message. Now, looking at financial inclusion a little bit closer, it really seems to be aligned with the credit union movement. I mean, it's all credit unions are always about, you know, people helping people. I mean, how do credit unions participate in this inclusive growth effort? How do they get involved?
Well, the work we do is generally through the financial institutions around the world. So we don't issue cards. We rely on the banks and the credit unions to do that.
Okay.
And as you say, I think there's a real philosophical link between the credit union movement and financial inclusion. The credit unions are locally based, they're community based, and that is proving to be really powerful in terms of the execution of this strategy, financial inclusion strategy. I think there's great leadership. I met with Brian Branch a couple of months ago. He was on his way to Cuba. We were trying to find an issuer, a U.S. issuer, who would unblock their cards. Because there's, as you probably know, there was the embargo and all the rest. President Obama took Cuba off the list, the exception list. Mm-hmm. But we're still trying to get some U.S. Access to Cuba. So it was an obvious stop along the way to talk to Brian and see if we couldn't both get U.S. issuing into Cuba, but also start a conversation in Cuba about perhaps a Cuban credit union. So that's just an example, but I mean, I think the fit is obvious between the movement and financial inclusion.
Yeah, I think the message is very synonymous with the two. Okay, Walt, let's wrap up here. I mean, what future plans or events with MasterCard do you guys have with the Center for Inclusive Growth? I mean, and to second part, how can folks get involved? Because it sounds like such a great mission that you guys are putting forth here.
Well, the center, again, that's not for profit. So I'd encourage people to go in and look at have a look at the site, MasterCard Center for Inclusive Growth. We have all kinds of blogging, all kinds of capabilities around getting that conversation going. So write to us, have a look at the content. If you've got ideas, if people have ideas of how we can drive this, we would love to hear about it. And then on the commercial side, I mean, MasterCard as a company, we're doing this around the world. Mm-hmm. We've got some great programs going, and that includes working with governments more and more.
Oh, so, really?
That's another link. I think there's many, many government credit unions, and we have a lot of direct work now with governments with different card programs, and I think there's lots to talk about there.
Now, do you think, I mean, just to kind of wrap up again here, I mean, with the MasterCard name, it's a global brand and it carries a lot of clout. I mean, has that opened up a lot of doors for you guys in this area? I would think it would.
I think so. And I think what we're finding with governments is that they like a global brand and they like global capability.
Yeah.
And we can't figure out why the poorest people on earth should have less functionality, day-to-day functionality than the richest people on earth. So, and that means being connected to the internet, to cross-border commerce. So it's pretty obvious. You can do things in a smaller, localized way, but governments now seem very keen on letting their citizens connect with the rest of the world. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's the power of our brand.
Exactly. And I think it just brings value to that country and that community and brings the whole community up if all this access is available.
That's right.
Indeed. All right. Well, thanks again. Anything else to wrap up here? I mean, this has been a fantastic conversation.
No, I look forward to continuing the conversation with the credit union movement. I think this is, we have extensive relationships with credit unions. Mm-hmm. I'm sitting in Canada right now. I think there are 700 credit unions who are our partners here. But I think this financial inclusion idea is something we can really work on together.
Yep, I agree. I think you guys are quite aligned in this message. So well done, sir.
Great. Thanks, Mike.
Okay, well, thank you again. Thanks for the time. I appreciate it.